ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
I lost the play. What verse is it? 9, 10, 15, something.
53.
9, 10, 53.
53?
Yeah.
Yeah. Translation of purport. By His Divine Grace, Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the King of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Responsibly, Sri Chaitanya Mahavishnam Japitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Pakaramaya Dadatisa Parantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Jiraita Gadaha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Lord and His abode and His name are not different. They're all of the same nature, Vaikuntha nature. But Vaikuntha means free from anxiety. So we're finding here in the material world all these anxieties because we don't have the Lord. Our consciousness is fixed on material things. Therefore, we experience all these bereavements and sufferings and so on. So as soon as we connect to the Lord, then these things are no longer active. They're conspicuous by their absence. So, why don't we take it? We see practically, the kirtan gives us life, makes us feel. It's not some, esoteric thing that you have to, you only know a certain thing you can enter. No, anybody who enters into the kirtan, enthusiastically, chants the holy name, they feel some relief. Nobody's in anxiety when you're dancing in the kirtan. But of course, as soon as, so then we become mental again. You start thinking, oh, what about this, what about that? Therefore, it's advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kirtana Yasada Hari, we should always be engaged in the kirtan. Of course, Prabhupada is making a point here that kirtan is not only the dancing and chanting, but also the preaching. This is also kirtan. We're spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This will also give us life. This will also relieve us from the anxiety. Now how is that? You say, well, the devotees also get old, the devotees also die. I was looking last night, there's one, four or whatever, with all the list of all the Prabhupada's disciples who have left their bodies and so on. So yeah, we're going to also die. But the difference is that we're not in anxiety about that. We can go into death fearlessly. I was just reading last night in the little conversation books where one devotee, I can't think of his name, he made his heart sorry, was asking Prabhupada, well, what's the result of this chanting? And Prabhupada said, you become fearless. So that fear is the sum of all these miseries. Even if you're suffering, if you're not afraid of it, it doesn't have the same effect. But it's the anxiety that's the company. I mean, pain is something we can look at. It's like we can look at the lightning in the sky. But if we remove ourselves from it, we can observe it. It's not so you can say, terrifying. Sure, we don't deny it. The pain is there. The cold is there. We don't deny it. But if we can separate ourselves, because we are separate from this body, we are separate from this pain, then we're able to manage it. This is the idea. That we don't, the devotee also feels pain, they also have experienced suffering, old age, disease, death. But the consciousness is different. But this is the adjustment. We saw practically in Srila Prabhupada in his last days. He was still translating Srila Bhagavatam. He was still dealing with us. in a very Krishna conscious way to bring us closer to Krishna, bring us closer to him, his person. So he was very conscious of what he was doing. So that he was preaching. He was preaching and remembering Krishna and hearing that holy name. So in that sense, there was no anxiety. I remember Kirtananda Maharaj came and said, Srila Prabhupada, we want to bring you. We've made a wonderful palace for you in New Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said, we will see which palace I am going to. He knew that he was very likely to leave his body. But he wasn't in anxiety. He was making a joke out of it. In one sense, either way, it's auspicious. Live or die. Isn't we say that the curse is there, that the butcher should neither live nor die, because living is a horrible existence. When he dies, he's going to get the karma for all the animals he killed. But for the sadhu, for the paramhansa, live or die doesn't matter, because in any condition you're blissful. So how do we become that paramhansa? Well, the first thing is, we have to give up sense gratification. It's a very logical, you can say, understanding that if we want spiritual life, then we have to give up material life. They're two separate things, like oil and water. They don't mix. There's a demarcation, absolute, categorically different. Matter is categorically different than spirit. So we are spirit by nature, but now we're caught up in the material world. We're identifying with this body and mind as ourself. Therefore, we have to learn how to separate ourselves. And the easiest way to separate ourselves is to connect with the Supreme Spirit. This is called Bhakti Yoga. Bhagavad Gita directs us in this way. The whole purport of Bhagavad Gita is to come to this point. Man manabhava mad bhakta. Madhyaji manamastu. To rise above the modes of material nature. Mamsha yoga mamsha yoga 14:27 mamsha yoga vicharita bhakti yoga kalpate. We can come above the modes of material nature. How? By engaging in devotional service. Well, we have to engage in devotional service without offenses. So this is the you can say clearing stage. We're engaging in devotional service, but our mind may be dwelling on the sense gratification. This is called the tenth offense, to maintain material attachment. So it's a gradual process. We've all been taking it, and those who are sincere will feel some result. Prabhupada used to say, that's the only qualification. You have to be sincerely anxious to serve the Lord, sincerely anxious to take this sadhana bhakti, then the result will come, because Krishna promises, I reciprocate with you as you surrender to me. And that's an absolute science. Now how Krishna reciprocates, that's up to him. He may reciprocate by chastising you, he may reciprocate by making you broken hearted but not being present before you, as Lord Chaitanya prayed. Or he may reciprocate by taking you in his embrace. That's his business. But if you're, you can say, really sincere, then you'll see the hand of the Lord in all of those dealings. You'll be able to perceive, yeah, this is Krishna's arrangement. Krishna has done this for me, for my benefit. This is a verse that Prabhupada said is applicable to all times, all circumstances. Now we should see that everything that comes to us is the mercy of the Lord. So this is what we're practicing. We're practicing how to become saintly. This is the saintly person. He doesn't have a spirit of retaliation. No, he sees, oh, this is due to me. Yes, this is coming to me also. I should have been punished worse. I remember once that Prabhupada gave that example in Tokyo. He said, the devotee thinks, oh, today my finger has been cut. Instead of, like the materialist, cursing God, why has this happened? No. The devotee thinks, today my finger was cut, it should have been my head was cut. But because I've become a devotee, Krishna has minimized my reaction. And that way, we can become saintly. This is what saintly means, right? We all had, from our childhood, we had the idea of a saintly person who was tolerant, who was always happy, who didn't unnecessarily become angry and vengeful and hateful. So we can learn that process just by being a little bit cool-headed. Prabhupada used to stress on this point. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita also talks about how we have to come to the moment of goodness so that we can transcend. Gradually, we should rise above these modes of material nature. Now we're caught up by our nature. But actually, if we take this bhakti yoga nicely under the guidance, the expert guidance of the spiritual master, then we'll find that we can use our propensities for the service of the Lord, and that way we won't have any more karma. Gradually, all our karma will be reduced to zero. In the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, the Prabhupada mentions that there are five topics that are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. He said, and four of them are eternal, and one is temporary. The temporary is karma. We can transcend our karma. We can transcend our nature. Not abruptly, but by following this sadhana bhakti. Sincerely, there's no there's no trick. Prabhupada was asked, well, how do we become sincere? You become sincere by being sincere. It's not a trick question. It's not like something you have to be expert in the beginning in order to know. You just have to be sincere. Yes, I admit that I'm fallen. I admit that I've turned away from God. I admit that I have no, you can say, access to the realm of the Lord. Therefore, let me follow. Let me take guidance from those who do know. This is called sincere submissive. Therefore, it's mentioned, 434, right? The qualification is, we have to hear submissively, repeatedly, and render service. That's all that's required from our side. But we're such rascals, we can't do that. We think we know better. We challenge. So first qualification, submissive hearing. It's not very difficult. They just have to listen. No, don't have to give up your intelligence. Use your intelligence. And then there should be inquiry. Isn't it? It also mentioned there should be inquiry there. Intelligent questions are wanted. I was just reading that same book last night. Jatavaka Maharaj was describing that he was told by Vandamoti you should always ask good questions, just like I'm saying now, you should ask good questions. So he was thinking how to ask good questions. So every time he would ask a question, whenever Prabhupada was giving class, he was Bhakta Jay at the time in Montreal. And once he asked, well, what about Radharani? And Prabhupada got heavy with him. What? He said, what is your qualification to ask about Radharani? So then, but still, he kept asking questions. So in the evening, he wasn't able to attend because he was working. The devotees had to work to maintain the temple sometimes. So he had a job and he wasn't able to come. But Prabhupada was giving class in the evening also, every morning, every evening. So in the evening, Prabhupada was giving class and he was taped. So Jatavaka Maharaj was listening to the tape when he was taking prasadam, when he came back from his work. And after the class, Prabhupada said, any questions? And there was silence. Just like there'll probably be silence when I finish this class. So Prabhupada was a little disappointed and he said, no question. He said, Jay always gives good questions. And Jatavaka was listening to that. He became very enlightened. He said, oh, Prabhupada was appreciating my question. So we don't say throw away your intelligence, but there should be a non-challenging mood, submissively hearing, all right, let me hear. You're saying you got the absolute truth. You're saying you can bring me out of this, all my problems. This is like, is this exaggeration? Where we're saying there's no more, what does it say? Let's read this verse again. It seemed like exaggeration, right? No bodily and mental suffering, disease, no old age, no bereavement, no lamentation, no distress, no fear. Come on, you guys. This is a bill of goods you're trying to sell me. No, we say it's real. You can come to this point, but you have to use your intelligence. Don't sleep and eat. Don't make the temple a place for sleeping and eating. You have a nice restaurant here. Everybody can eat nicely. But you have to take this process seriously. Otherwise, what is the use? Okay, Maharaj has some comment. Chastisement. Mahamaji.
You were talking about karma.
Mm.
I was thinking, often we don't know if it's karma or it's Krishna's desire. Like, does it really matter?
No, it doesn't matter. You know, whatever comes to us, whatever is put in front of our, or whatever is on our plate, so to speak, we make the best of it. We try to use it in Krishna's service. We remain joyful. We don't become lamenting, oh, why did this happen to me? Instead of chanting Hare Krishna, we're chanting, poor me, poor me. Isn't that our mantra? So no, we think, oh yeah, this has happened to me. Whatever it is, Krishna is now bringing me out of that. We should think, oh, now my bad karma is being used up by this unfortunate situation. It doesn't mean I can't serve Krishna in this suffering condition or whatever reverse appears to be there. We can find that Krishna is, just like there's so many examples from the Shastra, when the reverse condition was there, it gave impetus to the devotee. Like Bali Maharaj, he became one of the Mahajans. Why? Krishna took everything from him, left him tied up. What was his offense? What did he do? He just fulfilled the promise that he made to Vama. He didn't do anything wrong. He even neglected his spiritual master. He said, no, you can have your three steps. You take them. And because of that, Krishna stepped on his head, tied him up, left him, took everything. But he didn't lament. He cried out, oh, Govinda. And then Krishna became captain. So we all have to stand that kind of a test. Even in the worst condition, we can remember Krishna with devotion. Not like Kamsa was remembering Krishna. Not like, God damn it, why is this happening to me? But if we remember Krishna with devotion at that time, that'll be the time that Krishna will be, just like Draupadi, right? She was trying to take shelter of her husband, of the elders. Then finally she just threw herself, Krishna! Then Krishna reciprocated. So that can be... Any reverse can be auspicious for us as devotees. This is what it means to be saint in person. You can take anything as a progressive. And this is a philosophy. This is not some hope against hope.
Is intelligence based on desire?
Yeah, desire. What do you want? Me or Krishna? Maya or Krishna, that's right. Krishna just comes, that's Katanashi, right? He's standing with his hand on his shoulder. What do you want? Me or Maya? That's our choice. And that's the job of the sadhu. We're trying to represent Krishna. Means that our business as preachers is to make it clear to people. Here's Krishna, and here's Maya. Now you decide. We can't decide for them. We can't force them. There's no force involved. Sometimes we like the force, right? But this is not the bhakti mark. It's always voluntary. But here we can say, here's Krishna. And who will appreciate? Very nicely decorated. The playing his flute, accompanied by his most intimate devotee, Radharani. But here's Krishna, and then here's mine. Now you want, what do you want? So it's your desire. It's all our desire. Each one of us have individual desire. It's part of the nature of our very essence of our being, that we have consciousness and desire. This is the symptom of the soul. So by desire we come to the material world, Isha Vesha Smutvena. By desire we can go back to the spiritual world. Who can check that? Who can check our desire? Can anybody force us to desire in another way? Just like Prahlad Maharaj. There was so much attempt to make him give up his desire to serve Krishna, but it wasn't impossible. Just a small boy, under the authority of his father, but he couldn't change him. He tried in every way to convert him, to be a demon, but he didn't want to be a demon, he wanted to be a devotee. Okay, anyone else?
So devotion is actually
a
commodity.
Devotion is actually...
A commodity. Something that we have to purchase from Krishna.
A commodity? Well, I never heard it explained as a commodity. You would say... spiritual commodity, you could say. Yeah, we should beg Krishna, please make me a devotee. So for so many years I've been pretending. Sometimes we heard that mantra, right? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We heard it. Eating, sleeping, pretending, and what was it? Pretending that we're devotees. So we have to become your devotees. Stop pretending. That means, what does a devotee mean? That means he's anxious to do what Krishna wants. So Krishna has a plan for us. What does he want us to do? And we should be anxious to be alert for that direction. What does Krishna want? What does the spiritual master want? If we're open to that, then we're devotees. But if we have our own conception and we become very attached to that, then even Krishna comes directly in front of us and says, "My dear Prabhu, please. No, I have something else I want to do. I already have a plan how to serve Krishna." And Krishna may come directly and say, "I want you, no. I don't care for you. I want to serve Krishna in my own way." So with that, the real devotee then, he's open to whatever Krishna wants. So why can't we be open like that? Who's checking us? Who can check us to be alert for serving Krishna rather than for sense gratification? That's really our choice. We can be alert for sense gratification or alert to serve Krishna. Okay?
Purity of purpose.
Yeah. Purity of purpose. That's right. Anyone else? Right. Devotional service is based on intention. Therefore, we have to be careful when we deal with devotees because it's not so easy to know their intention sometimes. They may be sincerely trying to please, even they look like they're doing something wrong, but if their intention is to please the spiritual master, to please Krishna, then they're right, even if they're wrong. So that sometimes is a little troublesome to us. You know, we like to see everything black and white. And, you know, just like our President Bush. Now, he has that kind of a mind. You know, Saddam Hussein is evil and he's good. But things are not quite so easy when we deal with devotees. Especially in the association of devotees. We have to be careful not to be so sure that we're all right and they're all wrong. They may be wrong, but if they're sincerely trying to please the spiritual master, then they're right. Even if they're so-called wrong. So that's where it becomes a little, like a gray area. It looks, you know, we're not so sure. That's why the management is difficult. There's a story, right? That here from the Ramayana, that Lord Ramachandra, he was the king, right? Everything was going well. He came back from exile, defeated Ravana, and he sent Lakshman to see if there was any complaint from any of the citizens in the kingdom. So we heard that there was one dog was complaining that I was just sitting on the side of the road and this Brahmin came by and he hit me with his stick. So Lakshman said, "That's not right. Why did he do that?" So the dog said, "I don't know. I didn't do anything." So he called the Brahmin and they asked him, "This dog is saying that you just struck him." And the Brahmin said, "I didn't like the way he was looking at me." And so Lakshman brought him into, you know, in front of Ram, and he said, this is his offense." And so Ramachandra said, "Well, call the dog and ask him what should be his punishment." Because he was guilty. He didn't. So the dog said, "Let him be in charge of the Vaishnavas in the Hare Krishna Society." And Lord Ramachandra said, "But that's a very exalted position." And the dog said, "Yeah, but I know his nature. He'll offend the devotees, then he'll go to hell." And the dog said, "I know, because that used to be my position." So those who are taking the position of, you know, controlling, managing the devotees is a very dangerous position. Therefore, from our position, we should try to cooperate with them. Don't make it more difficult for them. Because it's true. Sometimes it's hard to see, you know, like you have to say, okay, this person can't stay in the temple because they could, you have to throw them out. But if Krishna really didn't want to be thrown out, then, you know, there's some reaction. We've seen practically, this is a practical fact, over the years, that many of the big leaders, they didn't last. And that's the real reason. Somehow they offended devotees. So my point is not that we shouldn't sometimes have to take responsible leadership positions, but we should be careful. From the, those who are in leadership positions should be very careful, and those who are not, they should cooperate. They should realize that this is a thankless task. Prabhupada said, "This management gives me a headache." For those who are managing, then we should cooperate with them, try to relieve them from their headache, not purposely make obstacles for them. Okay, we'll stop here. Shri Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.
Shri Ramachandra ki.
Yeah.